Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It is currently 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest today is Jim Turner. He is the Director for Michigan of USDA. We're going to be talking about USDA rural development and programs in the area, and I do thank you for taking time with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Craig.
I understand you're actually on your way to the Thumb area, as we were talking a little bit earlier.
Yes, I'm traveling up to Sebring in just a little bit to sit down with the officials at the village of Sebring and talk about their plans for the future. Rural development works very closely with our rural communities and helping them build and sustain their community infrastructure, their water and waste programs, and help them with their community facilities. And we provide tremendous support for multifamily and single-family housing across the state, and as well as support our rural small businesses that are so critical to the economies of our small towns.
Now, as I understand it, rural development does most of its work through grants and or loans, low-interest loans to communities?
We provide grants. We provide low-interest loans to communities. We also provide loan guarantees, both for community infrastructure and for small businesses. Last year, we provided about $130 million in loan guarantees to small businesses across the state to help them not only survive but thrive in these difficult economic times.
In these difficult economic times, has your budget been hurt, or is your funding from a different kind of source?
Well, our budget is in flux right now. Of course, we don't have the funding we had under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act stimulus bill, so we're kind of back to our normal funding stream, but we're waiting to see what Congress does in the weeks ahead. Rumor has it that we'll be on a continuing resolution for some period of time until the so-called super committee acts, and so we, like everyone in the federal government, are going to wait to see what Congress does.
With your loan program, does that money come back to you so you can re-loan it to other communities? Is that how, kind of like a revolving type of fund?
It is not. It goes back into the Treasury, and then we have to be reallocated each year.
Okay. So each year you have to get an appropriation, and then you have to figure out how best you can use it to serve as many communities and people as you can.
That's correct, and there's no end of demand out there. there's been estimates of $2 billion or more in unmet infrastructure needs in Michigan alone. So we don't have trouble finding projects, Craig.
Yeah, well, a lot of your projects are things maybe a small community just couldn't afford without that kind of help.
Well, that's exactly right. Many of our small communities don't have the resources that larger communities have. They don't have grant writers. They don't have engineers on staff. And we are able to work with them and provide them with resources that they would not otherwise have to do some of these big projects so that our residents in our small towns have safe, clean drinking water and are protecting the environment with working wastewater treatment systems. But what I want to talk to you about today, specifically, Craig, is the Rural Energy for America program, because last week the Secretary, Tom Vilsack, announced about 500 projects across the country. This is in addition to about 900 other projects we announced earlier this year for our Rural Energy for America program. This is a program that provides loans and grants to help agricultural producers and rural small businesses install either energy efficiency improvements or install renewable energy projects. And we did a number of them in your area.
You do a lot of them in our area because the first two grant cycles here that I've seen through, better than 90% are in the Thumb here.
Yes, quite a number of them are. The large majority of them are solar projects where small businesses and agricultural producers are installing pretty significant solar photovoltaic systems to produce electricity to the sun. Many of these small businesses are significantly reducing their energy bills in the process. Some are selling energy back to the grid with an agreement with Detroit Edison. And so they're significantly reducing their costs, which means more money in their pocket, which means more money in your communities, that's recycling through the economy here in Michigan. You know, Michigan exports about $22 billion a year to supply our energy needs. You know, most of that is transportation fuels, of course. But a significant portion of that also comes from bringing in coal to supply our power plants. And all those dollars leaving Michigan are dollars that can't be reinvested here in Michigan. So it's very important and significant that we have all these small business people installing these renewable energy projects and reducing our needs for energy from outside the state. All the dollars that are saved from these projects are dollars that remain in Michigan and get recycled through our community. And they also provide jobs to local folks who are installing these projects and provides jobs to people who are making the solar panels. You know, it's all money that stays here in Michigan and gets recycled through our economy and, of course, most importantly, creates jobs.
Do people sometimes not realize that they could qualify for this program? When I was looking through the list of who received, there's things like a hardware store in here. There's a sporting goods place. I mean, it's all kinds of different places that actually are eligible.
That's true. Any small business in Michigan, in a rural community, and that's a community of less than 50,000, for this kind of program, could qualify for a grant to pay for up to 25% of the cost of the project. And the project cost itself can go up to $500,000 for a renewable energy project. So, you know, we'd certainly encourage more businesses to get engaged in this.
Is it a long process? Does it take, you know, do you do it 1 year and you get it maybe in the next fiscal year, or does it seem to be a fast-track kind of thing?
Oh, we have an annual application cycle. And we usually starts in the spring, and then we'll make announcements in the late summer to fall.
So people now should start thinking about getting their application ready for the spring.
That's correct.
And how do they do that? Do you have information on a website where they can get all this, or do they need an attorney? How does that work?
Well, you know, with a lot of these, we recommend that they get a grant writer to assist them. There are grant writers in Michigan and around the Midwest who actually specialize in doing this. And help many of these farmers, ranchers, and small business people with their grant applications. But I would suggest that the folks in your listening area start by calling Paula Gromack, who works out of our CARO office. And she's kind of our energy person in that part of the state. And she'd be happy to help anybody out there who'd like to pursue this.
And she will get you through step by step and see how, I'm sure there's qualifications in there as well.
Yep, and you can call our office there at 989-673-8173, extension 4.
And is there a cap on, you say it's 25% of up to like $500,000?
That's correct.
But a lot of them I see here don't make that cap, so I imagine some of the projects don't reach that scale of
system. That's true. Many of these projects, again, were done in coordination with the Detroit Edison Solar Currents Program. You know, Michigan has a renewable energy standard, and so the consumers and Detroit Edison were required to get a portion of their energy from renewable sources. And so they set up this program to work with local farmers, ranchers, and small businesses to help them supply renewable energy to meet their needs. Now, that program, I should caution, has reached its peak, and as I understand it, at the current time, Detroit Edison is no longer seeking new partners. But nonetheless, there still are opportunities for people to want to reduce their energy needs and keep more dollars in their pockets to work with us on our Renewable Energy for America program and create more renewable energy.
Do you have to have the project ready to go before you submit the grant? You can't put the cart before the horse type of thing.
You have to have an idea what you want to do. And, you know, part of this is going to be with borrowed money. You have to show that agreement is in place. So you have to have some idea what you want to do before you before you come to us. That's true.
So the first step really is to get somebody out onto your farm and design a system or kind of go over what you think you might need, and then you work from there, and then you get into the financing of it.
That's correct.
Okay. You have stuff that you're awarding to, it's called energy efficiency. Is that a broad category? Does that apply to a lot of things people might not think of?
Oh, yes. That could apply to most anything. Say a hardware store wants to put in energy efficient windows or upgrade to a more energy efficient heating system, that would certainly qualify. The most common application is for grain dryers. We do an awful lot of grain dryers for agricultural producers, and so we do a lot of those. But we can, it could be energy efficiency improvements to melting powders, for example. Most any kind of energy efficiency improvement for a small business or an agricultural producer will qualify.
And I assume geothermal has to do with heating and cooling.
It does.
Okay. And how is this program going to be around for a while, or is this something that's got like a shelf life? Because we try and kickstart things, and then we hope that the natural cycle takes off.
Well, we hope it's going to be around for a while. It's certainly very important that we maintain this. You know, energy, if it, you know, I mean, the United States is energy dependent on foreign sources, and we need to reduce that energy dependency, and this is a renewable energy is an important component of that. Right now, we're not sure what the future will be for renewable energy. The Senate Ag Appropriations Committee is actually reducing this program next year, so we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
So first come, first serve, get your application in type of thing.
I guess so.
Okay. We're going to pause 60 seconds. We'll be right back.
If you're a farmer, you should know Farm Bureau Insurance. After all, you know how tricky insurance can be. Did you remember to add that new planter you bought? What about the truck? Did you switch that over? The equipment you'll be using will need to be added. If you're a farmer, you should know Farm Bureau Insurance. Because Farm Bureau Insurance works with you to get all your needs taken care of. From the implements and trucks to the insurance on your workers, your local Huron County Farm Bureau agent will walk with you every step of the way. If you're a farmer and you don't know Farm Bureau Insurance, call one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents today. It could just be one of the most important calls you make. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton, Casey Yan in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Bill Weitzel in Pigeon.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back, and our guest today on the program is James Turner. He's the Michigan Director for USDA Rural Development, and you wanted to talk about a jobs program?
Well, as you've heard, the President introduced the Americans Jobs Act and has sent that up to Congress for their consideration. And I just want to take a couple of moments to kind of articulate what that bill would mean for Michigan, because it has some very important components which would help Michigan in a number of ways. First of all, you know, as you've heard, the bill calls for a cut in the payroll tax, cuts it in half to 3.1 for employers on the first $5 million in wages. That would provide broad tax relief to all businesses in Michigan. And it would affect 180,000 businesses in Michigan that would receive a payroll tax cut under the Americans Jobs Act. And that's, of course, more money in our community that can be recycled and create more economic activity, which, of course, creates more jobs. The bill also includes $50 billion in immediate infrastructure investments in highways and transit and rail, our airports. You know, I spoke earlier about, you know, Michigan's terrific infrastructure needs. And this plan would provide $901 million for Michigan that would support a minimum of 11,700 jobs. He's also proposing to invest $35 billion to prevent layoffs of up to 280,000 teachers nationally and support the hiring of tens of thousands more and keeping our first responders on the job. Here in Michigan, that bill would provide $945,500,000 in funds to support up to 11,900 educator and first responder jobs. He's also providing to propose $25 billion investment in school infrastructure. You know, the average age of a school in the United States is 40 years old. And many of these schools need to be, rehabbed and improved and maybe supplied with new technology so that our kids have a chance to compete in the global marketplace when they graduate. Here in Michigan, that provision would mean an investment of $926,300,000 and support about 12,000 jobs. So there's a lot, I could go on, but there's a lot in this bill that is not only provides jobs, but makes the kinds of investments that help our economic future. It provides investments in our schools, in our kids, our teachers, our first responders, and it helps build up our infrastructure so that our infrastructure can support the jobs of tomorrow.
And that is what's proposed, but as Washington goes, there's usually gives and takes, and so we'll never know until the end what the final product's going to really be.
That's true.
That's the political process.
It certainly is.
Does rural development do anything for schools? You talked about building for schools. Is that something schools can apply for and maybe they don't think of it?
We do work with schools. We have our community facilities program, which is for towns of 20,000 or less, can provide funding for structural improvements to our schools and high schools and community colleges. We also provide distance learning grants through our rural utility service so we can connect some of our smaller schools, perhaps so they have the opportunity to work with an advanced placement instructor at a larger school. So those are just two ways that we do that we work with our educational system.
So it sounds like you do just about everybody. You do municipalities, you do schools, you do businesses, you do farmers.
Mm-hmm. And libraries.
And libraries.
Yes, we just over in Harbor Beach, we just financed some improvements to the district library there. I don't know if you've been in that building, but it's. I had an opportunity to go through there a few months ago. It's quite a remarkable place.
So basically, people just need to apply and see if there are going to be any funds available.
Yes, people need to, we work very closely with communities. I mean, we're really kind of the federal government's boots on the ground agency. We have staff throughout the state who are working closely with villages and cities and counties and regions to help support our rural economies. Secretary Vilsack says that, rural America is where our values are grounded. And to illustrate that, he talks about, I think that our rural population is only about 16% of our population right now. But it's over 40% of our men and women in uniform. And what that says is that our people in our rural communities really take our values of a nation seriously and understand the importance of commitment to the country and to giving back. And when you visit these small towns, and I grew up in a small town, there are places where everybody knows each other and they support each other, and they're really strong communities, and so it's important for us as a nation to support rural America just as we would support urban America. And the president has made a very deep commitment to rural America by creating the White House Rural Council, which is chaired by my boss, Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack. And the purpose of that is to make sure that all federal agencies are attuned to rural America and are doing their utmost and working together in making sure that rural America is a part of our recovery that the president's working so hard on every day.
Terrific. If you have a major project, is USDA rural development basically a one-time shot, or can you do it over multiple years if you've got something really major going on?
Well, we do that many times. We work with communities on an ongoing basis. Sometimes they'll do part of a project in 1 year and another part, or maybe situations change in the community. Let's say a big employer comes to town, it might have an impact on your water and your waste needs. So you might have to come back to us afterwards and upgrade a system. So, yeah, we work on an ongoing, it's not a one-time deal.
Well, terrific. Again, you have that gal in Harbor Beach, in Caro, people are interested in the energy grants?
Mm-hmm. And our area director over there is Adrian Wagner.
Okay.
He's been with the department for many years. In fact, I met Adrian shortly after he came on, way back in the late 70s and early 80s when I was working over in that area of the state for Senator Carl Levin.
And how do they contact them?
Same number, 989-673-8173, extension 4.
Extension 4. Well, terrific. I hope we get more people applying for these. I see so many of them in the thumb. I have to think that it must be the best-kept secret from the rest of the state because I know they have sun in the northeastern part of Michigan and up in the UP.
They do. They do. Solar energy is a great opportunity in Michigan. We just need to get more people involved in it.
Well, thanks for taking time with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Craig.
Thank you.
Talk to you again.
Uh-huh. Our guest today on the program has been James Turner. He is the Michigan Director, USDA Rural Development, talking about the REAP program, which is the Rural Energy for America program. We announced on this station just a couple of days ago about 27 more grants in Michigan, most of them from the Thumb, and earlier this year they had their first round. Again, most of them were from the Thumb area. There's grants available if people are thinking of solar, energy efficiency, or geothermal projects. Go through USDA's office in Caro, and they can help you through the process. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.